The Lord this morning. Thankful for the presence of God that we feel in this place. Amen. I say that quite often when I get behind the pulpit. I'm thankful for the presence of God. The reason why I say it so much is because I mean it. I'm thankful to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, I enjoy fellowship. I enjoy coming together. I enjoy Jeopardy. Amen. I enjoy laughing, having fun, getting to know one another. I'm going to be honest. If we just came to this place just to have fun and hang out, fellowship, after a while, I'd just go on home. Amen. That's not to say that I don't appreciate y'all, but, you know, you can only stand so much of me. Come on now. But when the presence of the Lord is here, I can stay here all day. Amen. To be in the presence of the Lord is a wonderful blessing. Amen. To feel His presence, to be among His people. Amen. That unity that is there in the Spirit. And I appreciate that. I want to say I'm thankful for this opportunity that we have to be able to minister here this morning. And I am looking forward to what God has in store for us here in this service. I do feel like the Lord has given me some liberty to preach to us perhaps a Christmas-style message. Here recently, while evangelizing, I've been trying to be a little bit more topical when it comes to holidays and such. And the reason being is because I understand that it's halfway expected. But I kind of lean more towards, you know, how Brother Israel, he'd get up on Mother's Day and preach on the condemnation of the saints. And, you know, that's just kind of, didn't really worry about Mother's Day or Father's Day, just get up and preach and go home. Amen. But I do feel some liberty to preach to us here this morning along these lines. Now, I was torn between two messages, and through studying earlier this week and getting into this weekend, I told Brother Shane, I said, I feel like the Lord finally gave me some direction Friday night, and I was torn between two messages, and this is one of the times that you're able just to put these two messages together. Typically, it's opposites. You know, you got this message on your heart and this message you got to really seek God's face about, but we're able to put these two messages together. Amen. And I'm looking forward to what God has in store for us in this service. Amen. Again, thank you for this opportunity that we have to be able to minister here. I appreciate our pastor, Brother Shane, and he's more than just a friend. He's my brother, and I appreciate him. Amen. The book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 3 through 10. Excuse me. Book of John, chapter 4, verses 3 through 10. We're going to be reading another portion of Scripture as well. I will give you time to turn there later. The book of John, chapter 4, verses 3 through 10. Got it, those that are able, let stand for the reading of God's Word. Book of John, chapter 4, verses 3 through 10. The Bible says, He left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, Pay attention to this. He answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, if thou knewest the gift of God. And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Thou knewest the gift of God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Second Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I want to take this portion of scripture that we have read from, these two portions of scripture, the book of John chapter 4, also over here, Second Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to preach to us the best gift to give. The best gift to give. Amen. You want to help me preach this morning? And I'm trusting that you will. Shut your hand this way. Ask the Lord to help anoint in this place. Everybody praying together. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to be in your house. We're so thankful, Lord, for the presence of God that we feel in this place. We've come to the time of preaching where the Word of God is to be opened up and expounded on. And Lord, I pray, God, that you help me, Lord, to be able to deliver unto these people how you have so heavily laid it on my heart. I pray, oh God, that we become thankful, Lord, for the unspeakable gift that was given unto us. God, that we give back unto you, Lord, through way of worship and praise, living which you want us to. Move on us, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The reading of God's word. Amen. I might slow it down a little bit here this morning, if that's all right. In this busy Christmas season, we must remember that Christmas is not about receiving, but rather Christmas is about giving. Some would often be very generous around this type of time of year and say, I've done this in the spirit of Christmas. It is in this time that children are anticipating the blessed morning when they are able to wake up at 5 o'clock to tear open those gifts that are under the tree. It is in this time that mamas and daddies go to stores and pick out toys, games, and bikes for their children. It is in this time that grandmas, they go and buy gift cards for all the children and candies for the grandbabies. Wives are now buying for their husbands what they have been carefully planning to surprise them with, as husbands bite their nails worried because they have procrastinated for the 6th year in a row and they still don't know what they're going to get for their wives. I'm going to be honest with you. I struggle picking out presents. I struggle to go to a store or go on Amazon and try to pick out presents for those that are around me. Honestly, I'm more of a gift card type of guy. If I find out you like McDonald's, I'm going to give you some McDonald's gift cards. I'm going to say Merry Christmas and send you on your way. I don't know about you, but I just struggle to buy gifts for those that are around me. I would rather put cash in an envelope and tell somebody to go get what they want than for me to buy a gift for somebody. I just struggle with buying gifts for people. I don't know if it's because I'm nervous of the reaction that they're going to have. I don't know if it's because I might have bad taste. I have no idea. I just get so nervous when it comes to buying gifts for people. But one thing that we must remember is this. It's not about how expensive of a gift you buy. It's not about how big the gift is. But rather, a gift is something that you give someone to show them how much you love them. A gift is supposed to be something that you give to somebody that is intentional. It is premeditated, letting them know how much you are thinking of them. So when we begin to consider that a gift is a sign of love and a sign of thoughtfulness, it becomes a little bit more easier for us to give those around us the best gift. Sometimes it is an expensive gift. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and swipe that card and go ahead and get that gift. Sometimes it's just that small thing that you realize that that person has been needing for a while, be it maybe a pack of socks. Amen. Amen. But it's not about how big it is or how expensive it is. It's all about how much you love that person and how thoughtful you are towards that person. As we look back at these verses of scripture that we have read from here this morning, we see that the word gift is brought up. Jesus says, "If thou knewest the gift of God," in John 4:10. And then the word is mentioned again in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, where Paul is writing and he says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Not only is this word gift brought up here in these two verses, but it is littered throughout the New Testament as well. We read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, where it's talking about, amen, being saved. It says, "For grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." It is a gift, amen. There has been given unto us a gift. There has been given a gift unto mankind. A gift has been placed in the hands of humanity. And my question is this: who is the giver? Who is the one who is giving to us this gift? Who is the one who is reaching out the hand of offering? Who is the one who is giving the gift unto humanity? And from the scripture that we have just read from, we will find that the gift does not come from ourselves. The gift does not come from other men, but rather this gift comes from God. God is the giver of this gift. It is God who wanted to show unto us how much he was truly thinking about us. It is God who wanted to show us how much he cares about our eternal destination. It is God who wanted to show us how much he really adores us. It is God who really wanted to display unto us the love and the compassion that he has for mankind. God is the giver of this gift. He is the one who is wanting to show his love and his thoughtfulness towards humanity. I don't know about you, friend, but I am thankful that God thought about me. I'm thankful that God loved me. I'm thankful that one day my name, my life crossed across his mind, and he thought so much about me, amen, that he gave me a gift that I'm able to receive, a gift that I'm able to be a partaker in, a gift that I'm able to take upon myself. Amen. And to have in my life a gift that will forever change me, a gift that will forever, amen, change the way that I have lived. Once you receive this gift, amen, it'll either change you for the better or it'll change you for the worse. Amen. Either you will take it, you will become better, or you will reject it and you will become worse. Amen. But this gift has been given unto mankind. This gift has been given unto humanity. Brother Austin, you've spoken about the giver. God is the giver of that gift. But what is the gift that he gifted unto humanity? The Bible tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." Is the gift eternal life? No, sir, no, ma'am. Is the gift salvation? No, sir, no, ma'am, it's not. Is the gift deliverance? No, sir, no, ma'am, it's not deliverance neither. But it is through this one gift that we can obtain all of those things. When we read that word "gave" in the original Greek, it means to give, it means gifted. So we can read it like this: God so loved the world that he gifted his Son unto us. Hallelujah. That he gifted his Son unto us. The gift from God is not salvation. The gift from God is not eternal life. The gift from God is not deliverance. But the gift from God is his beloved Son. And it is one and only Son. It is his only begotten Son. His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we are the ones who are receiving that gift.
The ones who receive the gift are not saints. The ones who have received those gifts are not ones who have done right in the sight of God. But the ones who God sent the gift for are for those that are lost and undone and on their way to hell. The Bible says that God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Oh, yes, friend. I'm thankful this morning that he thought about me. I'm thankful this morning that he loved me enough to send his son to be born in a manger, to live a life of 33 perfect years on this earth. I'm thankful that he thought about me enough to die on the cross so that my flesh and my old life could be crucified with him. I'm thankful that he was buried and I can be buried with Christ. I'm thankful that he rose on the third day so that I can live with him. I don't know about you, friend, but I'm so thankful that he loved me. I'm so thankful that he thought about me. I'm thankful for the gift of God. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, friend. Is there anybody in this place who is thankful for the gift of God? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Now, I want to turn our attention to the book of Philippians chapter 2. You do not have to turn there. The Bible says, talking about Jesus, the Bible says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. This is something that Jesus did to display unto us his love. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Christ is co-eternal and co-equal with God. We all understand that. He thought it not robbery to do so, but he made himself of no reputation, and he put upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of you and I. Hallelujah. Jesus did not come to receive glory from man. Jesus did not come with selfish motives. Jesus did not come to bring attention unto himself. No, friend, he came in the form of a servant. He was born in a manger. He was not born in a king's palace, but he was born in a manger. Amen. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he forsook the glory. He forsook heaven and all the majesty, and he came in the form of a man. Amen. He didn't come as a king, but he came as a baby in a manger. He didn't come to receive accolades, but he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He didn't come to be lifted up by man, but he came to be lifted up on a cross. He didn't come with selfish motives, but he came so that mankind can be in communion with God again. He didn't come with personal intentions, but he came to lay his life down so that we might have life and life more abundantly. He wasn't selfish. He is our selfless Savior. I said he is our selfless Savior. And he thought about us so much. He said, I've got to die so that they can live. They've got to die so that they can live. I'm thankful for the gift of God today. I'm thankful that he gave his life. I'm thankful that he was willing to love me to death. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, why don't we lift up our hands and praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me, friend. Amen. Listen to me. He didn't come to receive accolades, but because of what he did. You can continue reading there. In verse 6 of chapter 2, the Bible says, because of what he did, he is now exalted at the right hand of God. Listen, friend, he wasn't concerned about his own well-being. He wasn't concerned about the stripes on his back. He wasn't concerned about the crown of thorns that was going to be placed on his head, but he thought of you and I, and he said, I must die so that they might live. I must lay my life down so that they can be and commune with me again. I'm thankful for the gift of God. Amen. He is our selfless Savior. He is our selfless Savior. Now, I want us to understand, I have had a lot of good gifts in my life. I've had expensive gifts. There's been times where people has bought me, amen, quite a bit of money's worth of stuff. One time in particular, I received a pretty expensive fishing pole for my birthday. Amen, about $400 was the fish pole. I didn't buy it, don't look at me sideways. Amen, about $400 for the fishing pole. Amen, that's expensive gift now. Amen, I've received expensive gifts in my time. I've received good gifts. I've received very good gifts. I've had iPods, every eye you can think of, except for these right here, amen. Honestly, I've had good gifts, but the best gift I've ever received was Him. Oh, come on now. The best gift I've ever received, or the best gift I've ever been given, was Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is the best gift that has been given in history and in eternity. Amen. Listen, friend, no greater gift has any man ever known than the gift from God. Jesus Christ, the righteous, being born in a manger, living His life, dying on the cross, and being resurrected again. No greater gift has any man received than Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ and the gift that was given when He was born. Amen. Okay. How are we supposed to respond to this gift? I don't know about you. In light of receiving good gifts, I've received bad gifts. So one time in particular, my grandmother got me something. And still to this day, I have no idea what it was. I remember opening it on Christmas Day. I was sitting, amen, in 105 in Burnish Drive, Northeast Maryland. I remember sitting there and opening up that gift. I looked at my mom and very quietly said, "What is this?" Apparently it wasn't quite enough. My grandmother reached over, grabbed it, and said, "Well, if you don't know what it is, you ain't gonna have it." I said, "Yes, ma'am." How are we to respond to this gift? This gift that has been given unto us. I want us to understand that when we read over there in the book of Philippians, Paul is writing to that church there, and he is telling them that they need to be selfless. He tells them that they are to have one mind and one accord. He tells them that they are to prefer their brother over themselves. And then he goes on to say, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Now hold on a minute. I know we like to use that scripture there talking about depression. We talk about anxiety. We talk about having our mind at war. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And I'm sure that's fine and it helps us. But in all reality, friend, if you read it, it is talking about having a selfless, amen, mindset. Come on here now. It's talking about having a selfless mindset. He said, "Let this mind be in you." You need to understand that this life is not about me anymore. But who is it about? It's about Jesus Christ. Listen to me, friend. How are we to respond unto this present? How are we to respond unto this gift? We need to respond how the woman at the well responded. What did she do? She went back into her city and she told everybody of the gift that she had received. Brother Austin, what are you trying to say? This is what I'm saying. We need to repay Him for the life that we live. We need to worship Him by how we conduct ourselves. Now, we must be careful, because Brother Shane can buy me a present. I know that he has. I know it's a very expensive present. I appreciate it. And I can exchange with him gift for gift. That's a normal way to respond to gift receiving. Am I right? Well, thank you so much. We got you something too. It kind of just, you know, stops it. Like, please don't give me nothing else. You know. We can't do that with God. There's not any way that I'm able to exchange gifts with him. There's no way. He paid too much in order for me to try to repay him back. And there's no way that I'm going to be able to. But the best way that I can live after receiving this gift is to show him how much I really appreciate the gift. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, friend. Hallelujah. Listen to me, friend. We can worship him with our mouths. We can praise him with our mouths. We can lift up our hands and give him glory and honor. But nothing says thank you more than the life that I live in his sight. Oh, yes, friend. That's exactly right. And that's what Paul is writing about there in the book of Philippians. He says, all these things I count as loss that I may win Christ. Everything in this life, I lose it all so that I might have him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, yes, we must respond by the way that we live. We must respond by the way that we worship. We must respond by the way that we react to the gift. We need to show him how much we appreciate his gift. Read over there. I'm almost done. Brother Austin, it is a simple message. It is a simple message. I believe a lot of us perhaps fail in this area. This Christmas season, we need to remember it's not about Santa Claus. It's not about Jack Frost, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph, Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's about him. My, what a gift. Best gift I've ever been given from Santa. Come on. Come on now. It is such a good gift, I can't even explain it to you. As my wife comes to the piano, if you're able to. It is such a good gift, I really can't describe it. You know, I'll tell you here today, this is my Christmas gift, this iPad. My birthday gift and my Christmas gift. My wife got this for me, and I'm able to tell you, for the most part, what this iPad does. And if you have any more questions, you can ask Matt Jones and Nick. They'll be able to go through and explain a little bit more detail of what the settings does. But I'm able to explain to you, I've got this iPad, and I'm able to use notes off of and I'm able to preach with this iPad, and I'm able to tell you all this. But this gift God gave to us, I can't explain it. If I was to come and I was to ask you, how did you get saved? You'd probably look at me and you'd say, Brother Austin, I got saved at a revival. Brother so-and-so was up preaching, and he was preaching fire and brimstone, you know. I couldn't stand it no more. I ran to that altar. No. How did you get saved? What do you mean, Brother Austin? I went down, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I told him I wanted to accept him as my Lord and say, No. How did you get saved? How is it that a man so putrid, a man so evil, a man so vile, is able to be washed in red blood and be made white and whole again. You explain that to me. You explain it to me how the God of the universe loved me. Explain it to me, brother. It's unspeakable. I can't explain it to you, friend. All I know is the best gift to give. It's been the best gift I've ever received. This gift of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I got to thank Him with my life for this gift that He has given unto me. And as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, I give thanks unto God for this unspeakable gift. I can't explain it to you, friend, but I'm thankful. I can't explain it to you. I can't put it into words. I can't even think of the vocabulary to say, but I'm thankful for this gift that was given unto me. Is anybody else in this place who's thankful? How about we stand to our feet and lift up our hands and start rejoicing for the gift of God that was given unto us. Oh, yes. Listen, friend. This is how we're going to close out this message, this service. We're going to close it out with thanksgiving and praise, because gift giving, amen, gift or receiving gifts is not what it's about, but it's about giving. I need to give Him glory and honor. I need to give Him glory and praise. Oh, yes, friend. I thank God for this unspeakable gift. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church. Give Him glory and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I can't explain it, Lord. And I'm so thankful for the gift that was given. I'm so thankful that You thought about me. I'm so thankful that You loved me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.